Hey everybody, this is Sophie and welcome to episode 476 of the Big Boo Cast. On this episode, Melanie and I are going to talk about the recent Georgia Ole Miss game. We're going to talk about Kurt Cignetti. We're going to talk about a TV show on Netflix that we don't necessarily recommend, but we have not been able to look away. We would love for you to join us on Patreon. If you haven't done that yet, it's at patreon.com/bigboo. We have a $10 level this year where we're going to read through Southern Living together. We have our $8 level where you get two bonus episodes and a live episode every month. And we have a $5 level where you get two bonus episodes a month. As always, we would be so happy if you stopped by our Amazon shop to see some of the things that we love and love to use. That's at amazon.com/shop/bigboo. And our Birmingham live stream tickets are now on sale, so you can find a link for that in the show notes. Alrighty, everybody, thanks so much for being here, and we hope you enjoy episode 476. Hey, everybody. This is Sophie. This is Big Mama.
Hey, it's Melanie. It's Big Mama.
It is the beginning of January. We are awash. At least I'm awash in the clean slate of the new year.
Yes. Yes.
And just really enjoying the list and the low level goals and mm-hmm. the clean outs and et cetera. Just it's the best time of year.
Listen, I have been fully immersed, let me say, for all that my calendar apparently now doesn't start until April.
Yes.
But
yes, Melanie's following the ancient calendar.
Yes, the ancient mm-hmm. calendar. Which I've laughed because now that I've said that, you know how something starts to follow you? Like I've seen it everywhere on Instagram and I'm like, it kind of becomes one of those things of like, did this just become a social media thing where now everybody's like, yes, let's just all say it starts in April, you know, like let's just go along.
That can down the road.
Yeah, uh-huh. Well, just whatever. Mm-hmm. And then by April, it'll be Easter and we'll forget that it was also supposed to be the new year, you know?
That's right.
But I did listen, I took Christmas down, I guess New Year's Day, I took Christmas down. And I am going to tell you, when I threw out, there's something about as the years go by, I tend to get less sentimental because it's things like, I'm like, Caroline made this in preschool. We don't need this. Let's end this. It stays in our Christmas bin year after year. I'm never going to use it. She doesn't care.
That's exactly right.
You know?
Yes.
And so I got rid of that. I cleaned out a bunch of my books that I had had that I had either read and we donated those. And I mean, I went through my linens. I went through my towels. I went through our games. The amount of games that I have bought over the years that are still in shrink wrap because of my eternal hope that we'll become a game playing family.
Same. I bought a game before Christmas. I continue to hope that we're going to be a game playing family.
Yeah.
And I look at that box, that Rummy Cube box, mm-hmm. You know, in the den and think, well,
yeah,
I don't know that this is going to be it either.
It's not mm-mm. even going to happen. It just, I don't know. I keep hoping, you know, but I'm like, apparently not at this juncture, it feels like, and I feel like if I were to bring out a game and tell Perry and Caroline, like, we're going to play a game. There would be so many questions, like why? Uh-huh.
What are you in a hostage situation.
Yes. Why? Like,
and
what are you doing?
And part of your release is to get everybody to play a game.
Yeah, but I kept a couple of them just in case, you know, because hope springs eternal.
Sure. Yeah, it's fair. I also bought new decks of cards before Christmas because, you know, I do love to play spades.
Yes, me do. I do. Me do too.
And Taylor and I used to play Canasta all the time mm-hmm. before Alex was born.
Yeah.
And I told him, I was like, I really want us to play Canasta again. Why do I get on this thing where mm-hmm. I'm like, the games are our great hope. Listen, we haven't played. I haven't shuffled a thing.
No. Nope.
So anyway, hope springs eternal. I cleaned out
the closet in our guest room, which is where we keep all our, most of our Christmas.
Yeah.
And I was the same with a lack of sentimentality. I mean, it was sort of an everything must go situation. But what was in the back of the top of that closet?
Yeah.
Were my maternity clothes.
Oh, it feels like you didn't let those go.
Oh, and I have. But that was a memory lane experience. Because I pulled, there were two bags of them, and I pulled them out, and I was like, is this, are that, what?
Yeah.
And because I'm, this will be 23 years ago.
Yes. You
know, this March.
It's been some time.
It's been some time. And so I pull them out, but the memory, the immediate, like, I was right back in it with them.
Mm-hmm.
I had so many Steinmark tops that I had bought, like, a size bigger, you know?
Oh, okay.
You know, like just to wear to school so that I would steal, because we were with back then, we kind of dressed up for school.
Yeah.
And so I was trying to do my whole like businessy look.
Yes.
And so, oh my gosh. And the pants, you know, with the big panels in the front. I don't even know if they do them like that anymore.
No, but, I don't know that anybody does that big panel, but man, we loved a big panel.
Oh, you know? We really did. Yeah. So when I saw my jeans from Motherhood Maternity Shop, you know, I just, golly, wow. that was kind of fun. But I threw out Christmas decorations that I don't really use anymore. I used to have like soap containers that were Christmas themed. Who has time for that?
Yeah,
fills up a soap
container? I can't
switch
out my soap.
No, I can't either. So anyway, I got rid of a ton. That was glorious. I cleaned out our refrigerator. I cleaned out the freezer. It was a really productive week in that sense. So next is this closet in my office. And I think that's going to be Friday's task.
Yeah. So. Now, I feel like I've gotten to a point, and this is what's happened with us, is there's been stuff that I've just stuffed. Because what has also happened is my mother-in-law has moved.
Yes.
This past fall. And so she's brought us some things that she had.
Melanie, we've got to guard against this in our own lives.
Yes.
I saw a TikTok last week where it said, every time I leave my mom's, and it was a video of a woman saying like, do you want this macaroni art from when you were four?
Yeah.
Do you want this stack of papers from when you were in the ninth grade?
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to burden Alex with the stuff, but anyway, I'm sorry.
Please it's fine. Continue. But it was so that we have a lot of stuff of, it's like some pictures that like she used to have framed that are of like she and Perry's dad with like the governor of Texas. And so I looked at it, and then there was like a picture of Perry like hanging on the monkey bars when he was three. But here's what happened. Like 2 weeks ago, she brought us our framed wedding portrait that she used to have hanging on her wall. And she was like, here's this. And so Perry asked me, he's like, do you want this? And I go, well, we have that picture, not framed. I was like, we have it. We don't, whatever. So when Caroline came in, I was making her throw trash out of her car. We were unloading her car. And I opened up the deal, and Perry had just put our wedding portrait, which is top of our trash can, our outdoor trash can. And I thought, well, so when I was going through stuff New Year's Day, and he was like, do you want this picture of me when I was three? I was like, I don't. Put it in the trash. I don't. If we're going to throw out our wedding portrait, guess what I don't care about? Picture you hanging from the monkey bars when you were three. We're throwing it all out. Because what are you going to do with them?
What are you going to do with them? There's only so many gallery walls.
Yes. And here's the dilemma that I came upon. And if anybody has any suggestions for this. So I have a lot. I have a collection of VHS tapes. So one says clearly Caroline's ultrasound, which Perry was like, why do we need to keep that? We know what she looks like. And I was like, I know, but it's
I know
the memory.
I get it. Yes.
But it's on a VHS tape. But here's the other thing. I have other VHS tapes that are labeled Alias/Bachelor. But I don't know that that's really what that is, or if it's not like Caroline's second birthday party.
Right.
So I don't know what to do with those. We don't have a VCR. So like, I know there are places you can send off. We also have a lot of discs that I burn stuff on, like in terms of like Caroline's like videos and stuff when she was little.
Yes.
But I'm like, I know there's places you can send all that stuff off, but like, but if you send them an Alias tape, am I going to get Sydney Bristow on Caroline's Are we going to get Christmas memories and Sydney Bristow? Like,
I know. Yeah, I know. You know, I have also have a big, like an old storage container of VHS tapes. Like you would buy the storage containers at Eckerd's.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah. At Eckerd's. Yes.
You're welcome. And I have Sweeney Sisters, David Letterman, Friends episodes, all kinds of stuff on there. And I would really love to watch them. Mm-hmm. I mean, I really would. So I've wondered, like, I've even thought about going to a thrift store and looking for one of those old little televisions that had a VCR player built in.
Oh, that's a good call. Yeah, that's true.
Not that we need another television in this house.
No.
But you know, just as a way to sort of screen them to say, because I don't know how else to really know what's on there.
Yeah, that's the whole thing. Because I'm like, I've got stuff. And then we also have to compound this issue, Perry and I've had for years. So his dad was a photographer. So yes. We have, I'm telling you, slide upon slide of pictures of slides that he had made. So we're like, what could we do with those? Because it would be cool. But there again, they're like seven pictures of the same thing. So yes. Like, how do you figure out? Because we're like, it would be cool to be able to compile those into some sort of a chip that we could like put on stuff and see. But this is where I don't know what to do with all this stuff. And then I also have like, I feel like for the first like 3 or 4 years of Caroline's life, I was really good about like having pictures printed out from Shutterfly that I would put in albums.
Right.
At some point I quit doing that, but I have bags and bags of printed out photos that from like Perry and I dating and from college and from, and like, am I going to sit and put those in albums or do I just call it and say, I'm going to keep them in Ziploc bags that say 1994, you know, I don't know.
Well, what I did, now the slides, I think you would have to take to a camera shop. For somebody to know what to do with those. Mm-hmm. But is everything okay, by the way?
Yeah, I hit something when I was reaching for my coffee. I'm sorry.
No, it's fine. But I went through a bunch of daddy's old pictures this summer. Mm-hmm. I used an app and I went through and I took pictures of those pictures and then it scans them into my phone. So I can make like just a digital album.
Yes.
And I would have to go back through my phone to know exactly what I used. But that was helpful because now I have just inside my Apple Photos, there is a folder that's just all those scans. And so it's all those old photos, particularly of Mama.
Oh, that's good.
But you know, I don't necessarily, I don't want a photo album. I had so many photo albums in the closet that I cleaned out. And Alex came in there and he was like, well, what's this? And I was like, this is the photo album of pictures after your daddy and I got engaged.
Yeah.
And then I had a baby book for him that I apparently was very faithful to fill out for one full year. Mm-hmm. And then I quit.
Yes.
So it's just, we've had a lot of different forms of media in our lifetime and trying to figure out how to consolidate that into something is a little overwhelming. So too would like to know if people have suggestions of what has worked for them.
Yeah. It's because it's stuff I want to keep, but I don't know what a lot of it is. Yeah. And now like even my dad had, so my pawpaw, my dad's dad had one of those old video cameras, you know, like the original where it's like, there's no sound. That's just everybody. And my dad years ago had a lot of that converted for me, but there again, it's on a disc.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So like now I got to get that disc into some sort of new thing. And I feel like
configuration.
Yes. Uh-huh. And I feel like if I just wait a year, it'll just be like, well, here's a memory chip you implant into your head and you can just play it anytime you want. But it's like, what do I do with it? Cause I don't have anything on my current computer that you can scan it in or whatever. So anyway,
the app I used, by the way, with all those old photos at daddy's, is called Photo Scan.
Oh, okay.
And so, and
all
it,
right. I'm it puts that on my phone right now.
And it kind of, you just like, it's like you're taking a picture and then it reformats it. It all looks great. And I'm very happy to have that album now on my phone until we think of another place we're going to put our digital images and I have to move them again.
Yeah. This is a good call. This will be a great project for me on January 74th, you know, like to.
Yes. Yes. When the month continues, here's a way to be productive.
Yes. So
now, can we talk about college football a little bit?
Yes, please. Let's do. Because I was just thinking, it's hard to believe. part of me kind of checked out after A&M lost to Miami.
Sure.
Because all of a sudden I didn't care as much anymore. But I'm going to say, yes, I would love to hear your thoughts. Tell me.
Well, I think that I contend again that the playoffs for me in general have been really wah-wah.
Like, I agree.
It's not fun. It's not been fun for the most part to watch the games. They haven't felt particularly high stakes. But then Georgia and Ole Miss came into the chat.
Listen, what on earth?
That really was... I can't give a single criticism of that thing, despite my loyalties to Mississippi State, because that was a great football game.
Like, it was a
one
great
of the all-time great SEC matchups. And I feel like you knew it from the beginning, just because of the storyline, right?
Yeah, oh, for sure.
Pete Golden coming in and Lane Kiffin being gone, and you've got some of the assistant coaches there still. But when the Ole Miss kicker hit that first field goal, I was like, oh, this is going to be interesting.
Because
if we can kick a field goal from that far.
That's right.
You got a chance.
Mm-hmm.
And it was, I mean, listen, I'm a Mississippi State person.
Yeah.
It was fun to me to see that Ole Miss team was gritty.
Yep.
And they came out with something to prove.
Yep.
And that little Trinidad Chambliss,
he
gave it everything he had.
Yeah, he did.
And so it was a great football game. And I really was excited for my Ole Miss friends and family members, just because, especially in that set of circumstances, like I would hope if Mississippi State was in a similar set of circumstances, I would hope that all my Ole Miss friends and family would feel the same about us.
Yeah.
You know, like, let's just set it all aside for a moment and appreciate what has happened here.
Yeah. Well, and I'm going to say, here's my hot take on it.
Okay.
I wonder now with Ole Miss, because I feel like Ole Miss played with a fire, and I understand that right now they have it kind of works. It's that whole thing of when you have a common enemy, you know what I mean? Like, I feel they've all banded together. But what I wondered is if what Pete Golding has done is what Lane Kiffin couldn't have done. And was Kiffin what was holding them back? Would they have won that game if Kiffin were still their coach? And I think it's going to be interesting to see the trajectory of LSU. And listen, I know Kim Mulkey wanted to walk Lane Kiffin out onto that basketball court like he was their prize pig. But I don't know. It's just fascinating to me. It's going to be fascinating because I feel like Pete Golding really did something with that team to bring them together. And it'll be interesting to see how far they go.
I agree. And as a state person, again, how much can I qualify that I'm not an Ole Miss loyalist, but I like Pete Golding.
Yeah.
I mean, I think he's a likable guy. Mm-hmm. I think he was thrown into a really tough situation.
Yeah.
I think to give unity to a team under that set of circumstances is a really tough job. I liked his demeanor a lot on the sideline during that game.
Yeah.
I liked his interactions with the players. He seems really no nonsense. And that is not typically a trait. Let me say this kindly. That has not typically been a trait of our Ole Miss head coaches.
No.
Our Ole Miss head coaches have sort of been the opposite of no nonsense.
They have
been more like coaches of many, many shenanigans.
Many nonsenses.
So much nonsense.
Yeah.
So I like his personality for them. And so I'm really interested in what these two semifinal games look like.
Yeah. I think it's going to be really, I keep thinking about with Pete Golding is the fact that Cole has said how he has to go back and be like, I'm sorry, can you re-explain that about football? Like when he talked about how he knows so much about football and about the game and about strategy that it makes Cole and Jordan and some of those guys be like, wait, back up. I'm like, oh, that's fascinating to me.
How about that all four of the coaches who were in the semifinals were Saban's assistants?
Well, that I'm going to tell you, the apples do not fall far from the tree is what I'm going to say.
I want to say this too. Kurt Cignetti, that is a level of no-nonsense that fascinates me. I am drawn to it like a moth to flame because that is my daddy's personality, that, kind of, that level of no-nonsense,
yep.
That level of He's playing a game in his head that has nothing to do with the emotion of the game.
I feel like his demeanor on the sidelines is he's your favorite accountant who's going to help you stick it to the IRS when it comes tax time. You know what I mean?
Right,
like he's calculating things in his head of
yes. Mm-hmm. Whatever incentivizes him is different than what incentivizes the rest of us.
Yeah.
He takes inspiration from places I don't know.
Uh-huh.
Like, yeah. But that like straightforward, it's an old school approach. I feel like it's more like the kind of coaching that we saw growing up.
Yeah.
Which is so interesting to me. But I could not look away.
No.
I was captivated by mm-hmm. it. So all that to say, I'm much more excited about the semifinal rounds.
For sure.
Than I have been at any other point in the process. And it does kind of make me wonder, did we need to have quite so many teams in the playoffs? I don't know. But
yeah, I mean, I don't think we did, because I think it goes into that. I contend that even if you, I mean, I go back to March Madness, even when you have 64 teams, you're like, well, here are three teams that probably should have been in or could have been in or whatever. So I feel like no matter how big that number gets, but I think that we definitely saw, which I laughed because when we were watching Tech Oregon, Perry, in a football prophecy he didn't know he was uttering, he said, how much money do we think Tech's going to spend finding a different quarterback? And I'm going to say now the answer to that is $5 million.
Yeah.
$5 million.
Yeah.
But listen, Tech couldn't find an offense. And so, you know, there's that. And then I laughed because all my Aggie friends, we felt better about the fact that Miami dominated Ohio State, because it was like I kept getting texts from people going, oh, is Miami actually good? Like, was this?
Yeah.
And
I think they are actually good.
I agree. Yeah. And I felt like it was good. Listen, it was good for my heart to watch them on TV, because I feel like when you're at a game in person, sometimes it's hard to know everything that's happening and to take it in, because you're just not as engaged to me as when you're watching on TV. So to watch how powerful their defense is, and how I was like, oh, this makes more sense to me now seeing this. Like, I get now why we didn't score a touchdown, because their defense is legitimately really good.
Legitimately really good. I think, you know what, the thing with Miami is, and I mean no ill will mm-hmm. with this observation, I think that Carson Beck is not an easy quarterback to root for.
Yes, that's it. That's it. Well, so, he's 42.
So you don't get the connection. Like, it's just mm-hmm. it's easier for me to kind of overlook them because I don't have a place where I connect with them.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Totally.
And so I think that's part of it, but I do think they're legitimately mm-hmm. good. I think, though, a Carson Beck, Trinidad Chambliss matchup is going to be fascinating.
I agree.
Because you've got one quarterback who seems to just be all heart.
Mm-hmm.
And you've got another quarterback who seems, and again, I this is not a criticism, this is just an observation,
yeah.
who just seems to be much more calculated.
Yes.
And so those two personalities, I think it's going to be fun to see which one of those mentalities prevails. So.
Yeah, totally agree. I feel like at this point, just because of the heart of it all, which it's funny because I feel like I was somebody that at the beginning of the season was like, Indiana, why are they even ranked? What are we doing? Whatever.
Yeah.
But as we've fallen in love with Cignetti, and then how do you not like Fernando Mendoza, who to me—
Oh my gosh.
Listen, is there a more likable kid playing?
That kid, I mean, he is, what a delight. That kid is.
So much heart. There again, he kind of feels like your nerdy friend in math class who just happened to be good at football.
Absolutely. Yes.
Know?
And who is maybe a little surprised by how good he is at football.
Yes.
And every day mindful that he gets to be good at football.
Mm-hmm.
And just so like man, his personality is infectious.
Yeah. So I tend to think, I feel like Indiana, I don't see a scenario where they lose to Oregon, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. So I feel like I'm at this point probably cheering for Indiana to win it all, because okay. I just think they're so likable, and I just, they're the underdog. And like, who would have thought a team that, you know, has been nothing for so long to be in this position? I don't know. I just think it's a really cool story.
Yeah, I agree. And I think that an Indiana Ole Miss matchup at the end would be
fascinating.
Fascinating.
Two guys, I mean, players with so much heart and grit and stuff to play for and great storylines. I mean, that's like a future SEC special. I agree.
Yeah, I agree.
It's really good.
Okay, I have to, you know, one thing that happened to me this past week, this is sports adjacent, is because whenever the calendar turns and we have a new year, I inevitably start thinking about college baseball. It's coming February. Mm-hmm. It's going to be here.
Almost here.
Mississippi State posted a video of our team just doing a warm-up. It was just a warm-up, but that warm-up involved scissor kicks, side planks, I don't know why it. Maybe it was because of what happened to us in the Duke's Mayo Bowl with football.
Yes,
it was right after that. So maybe I just needed a lift.
Yeah, understandably.
But to see our baseball team and Brian O'Connor like kind of just walking back behind them, surveying it, but they're leading themselves in this drill.
Yeah,
I just think if you're doing side planks for 5 minutes every practice, I feel good about it. I feel good about what kind of program you're building, cultivating.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I cannot wait.
Yeah.
So I've done two things this past week in lieu of my football disappointment. One was I looked at rooms in Omaha.
Look at
and
you.
And I don't even
look
I don't, listen,
at the optimism.
Have we thrown a pitch? We have not. Have we swung a bat in a game yet? We have not. But I looked at rooms in Omaha because if we make it, I'm going.
Okay.
The second thing was our basketball team over the weekend played the Longhorns.
Oh, I am aware. I am aware.
And I cannot tell you how many times I thought during that game about a conversation that Gully had with a Texas fan when y'all were in the Super Regionals a couple
yes.
of years ago.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Right before they came into the conference. Now, they were talking about football, but Gully said, hey, y'all are going to have to go play Mississippi State at some point, and they're going to beat y'all. And that Longhorn fan. Now, listen, how petty am I that I have pulled up a conversation not even related to basketball from a year and a half ago, and I'm finding some sort of solace and comfort because our basketball team beat Texas in Austin.
Yeah.
And
yeah, you did.
In overtime. And it was a fantastic basketball game. Mm-hmm. And I don't know that we'll win another SEC game. I hope we do. But it was the first time we had beaten the Longhorns in basketball since 1977.
Wow.
So behold, he is doing a new thing.
That's
right. Do you not perceive it, Melanie?
Mm-hmm. Like, I do perceive it. I do perceive it. Mm-hmm.
And so I took probably more satisfaction in that than I should have.
Mm-hmm.
We have to now play Oklahoma this week, and I don't know that that's going to go well for us.
Yeah.
But I was so proud of them. So.
Yeah.
It's just good when maybe your football fortunes are a little slim to find some comfort in other sports.
Yes. So. Well, we were same. So Aggies played LSU basketball. That was our SEC opener. And we won. And we made some mistakes. It was messy. But I think it's fascinating because I'm rooting for Bucky McMillan. And so to see Bucky ball and the tenacity of this team, and it's a new season and it's a rebuilding year and nobody knew what to look. Now tonight, because it's Tuesday, we play Auburn at Auburn. That's going to be probably a little tougher.
It's going to be tough.
But I like this team. I love a gritty team. So basketball, I'm glad that we have other places to turn our sports enthusiasm at this point. And I'm excited about it. I'm excited about the future. I feel good about Buckyball. So that's good.
Okay. Well, here we go. I mean, it's full speed ahead at this point. I do love watching SEC basketball. I think everybody is competitive.
Mm-hmm.
It's the matchups are fun. And this is one instance where the conference being bigger, I think, kind of keeps it interesting.
I agree.
But we'll see if I still feel the same way come March. I don't know.
Yeah.
Mention baseball is like a month away? So.
Yeah, I know. But listen, that's where we are. Because this time last year, I too was making hotel reservations at Omaha. And that did not go well for me.
That
did not go well. But, you
know. Blessings.
Yeah. So, listen, I'm going to tell you that Caroline and I we made a quick trip. We went to Colorado because she had some interviews that she did for the book. And so it was a just a one night trip. We left Sunday. We came home Monday. I am going to say that I hadn't been in an airport in a while. I hadn't flown. I can't remember the last time I flew, sometime last fall, I would assume. But I feel like people, y'all, travel wise, we got to get it together. We have to practice some appropriate etiquette. Mm. We have to think about the snacks that we are taking on planes. Mm. I saw a man yesterday who had a packet that just said aged garlic in his travel on backpack. And I don't know what he was doing with that aged garlic. But the biggest complaint that I have is the last two times that I have traveled with Caroline. One was we're waiting to get off the plane. And, you know, everybody's in such a hurry to get off the plane. And you're like, y'all, we're 20 rows back. So guess what? We're not going anywhere fast. It's just, it is what it is. Yeah. But so last time we'd traveled, like two times ago, she had her hand up on the seat and some man behind her flung down his carry-on and slammed it down on her hand. Mm-hmm. Last night, the same thing happened to her. Different man came down and the wheels of his thing like cracked her across the back. And yeah. I'm like, if your carry-on is so heavy that you can't not hit a young woman sitting in front of you, then maybe you need to check that bag.
Yeah. And people really get ahead of themselves trying to get those carry-on bags.
They do.
Out of the overhead. They try to speed up that process mm-hmm. when they don't have room to pull them out of the yes. overhead bins. Mm-hmm. And when they have packed a week's worth of clothes, and other things in there that make those bags heavy.
Yeah.
There's a real lack of awareness, I feel like, surrounding our overhead, bags and the things that we put into that compartment.
I agree.
It's you haven't lived until you've been smacked in the back of your head by somebody's carry-on bag.
No, but then I'm going to tell you that this is my basis nature that I was so tired when we were leaving. We were going through security in Colorado and there was this little kid and he had been whining and kicking and throwing a fit. And here's the thing. He was about four. And but then through security, when our bags were coming by, he was standing right there in everybody's way so nobody could get the bags. And every time his parents would they would kind of pull him back and he would scream and he would go. So finally they just let him stay there. And I'm going to tell you that my inclination, there was a part of me that was like, I want to turn around with my purse and accidentally clock him in the head. And I was like, that is not what Jesus would do.
No, it's not. It is not. Listen,
what Jesus would do. And so I didn't, but I just have to confess that I thought about it because I was like, honestly, it would serve this kid. It would be a good lesson to him of there's boundaries, there's personal space. You're not supposed to be in this space and your parents aren't doing you any favors by letting you know that. But I didn't, y'all. I didn't and I wouldn't, but I'm just saying I thought about
it. Right. No, I know. But sometimes the devil dances on our shoulder
a little bit. That's what I'm saying.
And we have to fight. We have to resist.
I'm not proud of it. Yeah, I'm not proud of it. I'm just saying that it was just one of those things where he was so terrible that I was like, this is just feels like a new level of I don't even know why anybody would want to travel with you, you know? So,
well, I'm glad after all that you made it home.
Yeah, made it home. And then, but I do have to tell you, so while Caroline and I were in the hotel room Sunday night, we started watching. I had watched the first episode of Members Only Palm Beach, but I brought her on board to that particular train with me.
Oh my gosh. Melanie? Oh my gosh. Okay.
What?
We may get so off the rails right here. We may not get back on them. Okay. Let me bring people up to speed. Mm-hmm. There's a show on Netflix. It is called Members Only Palm Beach. Mm-hmm. I started watching it at some point over the weekend because I had seen some TikToks about it. And I texted Melanie and I was like, this show, it feels like satire, but it's not.
No.
And I can't look away. I cannot look away.
Mm-mm. No, it's fascinating. I mean, number one, I can't figure out why these women agreed to be on this show.
Especially
Hillary, who at this point appears to have the most sense of any of them, I feel like.
I don't even know where to start. Okay, first of all, let me just say, all of these women, what they seem to share, in my opinion, mm-hmm. Besides a certain degree of, or a certain desire to climb socially.
Yes, like, yes.
That's, apparently they all live in West Palm Beach and not in Palm Beach. Mm-hmm. Which, mm-hmm. and listen, I have a niece who lives in West Palm Beach. I didn't know there was so much beef between Palm Beach and West Palm Beach, but apparently
I didn't
that's
know
a
either.
Thing.
Yeah.
Okay. And they all are very preoccupied with what's going on at Mar-a-Lago.
Yes.
Now, as Melanie will attest, this is not my wheelhouse, y'all. This is not necessarily a thing that appeals to me, but I can appreciate that it appeals to them. But the way, oh my gosh, the way when they kind of all look the same, like
they do,
they mm-hmm. kind of all look the same.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But I'm gonna tell you this. By the end of this show, I was like, there really are some kind of deep takeaways here.
Oh, in okay. terms, I have not finished. So
okay, I don't want to spoil anything. For
yes,
you.
Well, the plot is just something,
but. Man, like there's really something there about, are we going to accept people for who they are? Or are we just going to constantly try to, mm-hmm. to fashion them in our image?
Yes. Oh, that's, yeah. Mm-hmm.
There's a whole thing there. And so by the end, and I don't think this gives anything away, I was very much Team Romina. Like,
okay.
I was I all about Romina because, mm-hmm. because listen, let her be.
Yeah.
It's fascinating. And y'all, there's a woman on this show named Gail Brophy. And I don't know Gail Brophy.
I've Googled her because I was intrigued.
I could do a Patreon on that, but I would get canceled. Like I would, like nobody would ever, I would completely, I think, undermine any goodwill I have built over the years just because of all of my thoughts.
Uh-huh.
But that's a fascinating situation.
It's just all the characters, like when I first turned it on and sitting there, and I wish you had been in the hotel room with us because Caroline watching that, you know, because she doesn't watch Real Housewives or any of those shows. So this was like just me dragging her down to my base level. And so
Well done.
Yeah. Just, and so we were sitting there and it was at the tea party where they're going to teach Romina etiquette at that
and
tea
they all
party.
Have on hats.
They all have on hats. And that one lady sitting next to Romina who can't even move her mouth. And she was like, I heard you in the bathroom, like the comments.
As I told you, and when I texted you about it, I was like, I don't know if these women, and again, this is like a look at a culture that is very separate from the world that I live in, right?
World most people live in.
Yeah. So I don't say this critically at all. Mm-hmm. Like just as an observation, I was like, well, I can't tell if these people are 35 or 75. I have no idea.
No.
Because it's hard to tell. But that woman in particular, I was like, oh, I don't, she could be my age. Mm-hmm. She could be in her early 40s.
Yeah.
She could be in her 70s. I have no idea. I cannot tell.
No, mm-hmm. you can't tell. And then what I kept pondering in my heart and in my head, and I said to Caroline, is I was like, they have a lot of money, clearly, to live this lifestyle. And
or they spend a lot of money.
Or they spend a lot of money. Well, mm-hmm. that's true. But I'm like, why are you not going to, like, I feel like now if I decided to go have something done to my face, mm-hmm. I would do a lot of research to like, who is the best, who I would only do that if I could spend the amount of money. That's not really where you want a discount to come from. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Like, it would be like, I'm going to go to the best person. And if they have the means to do that, and I don't feel like any of them, I felt like they could all benefit from seeing Niva. And I felt like the first thing Niva would do is dissolve a lot of stuff that's already been done.
But I feel like, again, I don't know. I wonder if there's a certain kind of look they're after. You know what I mean?
Yes.
And so, mm-hmm. and that look has sort of caught fire in those circles.
Yes.
You know what I mean? And so, there's a certain level of reality or a certain mm-hmm. level of, I don't know, natural. I don't, mm-hmm. it just, that seems to have left the building. we're not interested in looking like we're aging naturally.
Yes.
Or we're aging gracefully.
Yes.
We're just interested in looking this way. And that, listen, that is their prerogative, mm-hmm. but it's jarring. It's yeah. really jarring.
It's very jarring. And Carolyn said the same thing. She said, but is it a status symbol where you want people to know that you've had work done? You
That's what I mean? Wonder too. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Like you want it to be obvious of like, oh, I get my lips done, because you can tell they've all had their lips done.
The second thing that was so interesting to me, the clothes.
The clothes are a whole situation. And there again, I go into, if you have that kind of money, you know, or yes. if you're spending that kind of money, I was like, what are we doing?
What are we doing?
And I felt like there was one party, I think it was Rosalind's party for like the billionaire magazine thing. I don't know. I mean, which I'm like, is this a
And I feel like you have to put billionaire in quotation marks and magazine in quotation marks when you say that.
100%. But her thing, but like they're all in these like gowns and this tulle and this, it's so extreme. But then you see people like kind of milling around on the periphery that are just wearing like a normal black dress. And so I'm like,
yes.
So what? Yeah.
What's happening? It's fascinating. I really, when you finish it, I really do think, because David came through the kitchen a few times when I was watching, and he was like, what is yeah. that? Mm-hmm. And I was like, I can't explain it to you. I can't even tell you why I'm watching.
Yeah.
But it's like visiting a world I do not know.
Mm-hmm.
And, I don't know. There's something about the way that they are all chasing status and acceptance in that particular circle.
Yes.
That
yes.
fascinates me. Because why would you not want to be somewhere where you're accepted for who you are fully and completely,
mm-hmm.
as opposed to you know, these constant voices of women who are trying to tell you what you can and cannot do. And I know we run into that in all kinds of spaces, right?
Yeah.
We run into that in the South. We run into that in our churches sometimes. Mm-hmm. We run into that, like we can run into that anywhere. But I don't understand why you would not go, not for me, thanks.
No.
And walk in the other direction.
Yeah, I totally agree. And the whole thing about, I feel like Gail and Roslyn, their whole interaction is about Gail telling Roslyn, I'm handing you the baton. Here's my crown. Here's my, and I'm like, what? Is there a baton or a crown or what? Because other people don't seem to be aware of this, but I'm giving you the crown. And then Gail keeps talking about, because I have the Rolodex. And I'm like, did she just watch Palm Royale? Like,
I think
Wig
she
show?
Did. I really do. I think, listen, the Gail situation, I think Gail is trying to establish a narrative for her life that may or may not match her life.
Yeah, that feels right. That feels right. But listen, I got fascinated. Yeah, well, because I did Google to see how old they are. And it's funny because I'm like, well, I've never seen a collective group of women that managed to have their age scrubbed off the internet, because you can't really find
because
it.
Because even AI is like, it's probably in her 50s or 60s.
Yeah.
Like somehow those particular records have disappeared.
Yeah.
So it's hard to determine. Yeah. And there are a couple of women who are really likable.
Mm-hmm.
But golly, it's a case study.
It is a case study. I can't even say that I recommend it. I'm just saying that if you want something mindless to watch, it's something. It provided some good entertainment.
Yeah,
so.
I believe we'll get a season two of that. I think it'll come around for another lap, I think.
I feel certain. So, okay, well, with that being said, is it time for five favorites?
It's time for five favorites, and I'm going to kick us off with some curtains.
Oh.
One of the things that I want to do this year is I want to spruce up my office a little bit. Mm-hmm. It's been probably, I don't know, 12, 13 years since we made this bedroom my office.
Yeah.
And so I want to have the walls painted. I want to have the trim painted, and I want to get a new couch, because this couch that's in here, I have loved, but it's very hazel. I don't know. It really reminds me of Hazel. And okay. So, and plus it's just like, it's time for something new. Mm-hmm. So I've been kind of trying to figure out my direction, and I ran across these curtains at Anthropology. And this is my inspiration piece for my office.
Look at these. These were like in my grandmother's house in the 60s. Yes.
Yes. Aren't they fantastic?
They're fantastic.
Like the colors. And so I just feel like this is my springboard for the palette of my office. And so I feel like it's fun when you find something like this. And like, I couldn't put these in any other room of my house, or I would have to hear about it, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
But I can put these in my office.
Oh, for sure.
And so I feel like, I won't go into the whole thing, but I feel like where I'm headed is I'm going to do a neutral wall, but then I think I'm going to get some sort of maybe an orange sofa to go in here, you know, or I'm going to pull from this, something velour-y and super soft anyway, but I love these curtains. And
I love them too.
If if somebody's looking for an inspiration piece or like a statement piece for a smaller room in your house, I think these are so fun. And the price is really good, I think, for a curtain of this quality. So
yes, I agree. Love.
That's my first thing. Second thing, if I could just turn and make a hard left, is, as you know, I love just a sheath of a dress.
Yes.
And I love a sweater dress this time of year. And I particularly love it for church, because there's something about waking up for church and knowing that I'm only responsible to get one item of clothing on my body. It just really makes, and it's not fussy.
Yeah.
So I found this sweater dress on Amazon I was kind of like, I don't know. I mean, I'll give it a try. And listen, it's so cute. I got this, I got the burgundy color.
Oh, love
I would that. Also wear this with sneakers, like to an early baseball game or to a basketball game for Mississippi State. But it's really soft. I don't know that it's the highest quality. Like, it may be a one and done sitch, you know, season wise. I got the extra large. It is a little oversized. It is super soft. It is not see-through in any way. Like, it's at least and I just think there are a lot of cute colors, and I feel like this and a cute pair of boots and you're off to the races.
Yeah, so. It's all, well, and I would say when you're worried about quality, it is the Cedo Molasso brand, which I feel like everybody knows is
the highest of qualities.
The highest of qualities. Yeah. Yeah.
So anyway, but it's really soft. It's really cute. Yeah, it's cute. So I am going to enjoy that this winter. My third thing, and this ties into one of my low-level goals. I don't have to get into that right now. But Melanie, I've ordered myself a return address stamp, just like it's 1984.
Well, yeah.
I just thought, you know, I get tired of writing my return address on envelopes. I would like to write more letters in 2026, more handwritten notes. Like the correspondent, kind of. And so I just got on Amazon, and I found this little stamp, and you design it right here on Amazon, and it came in. And when I was growing up and we would play secretary or we would play school, there was nothing better than a stamp, you know, like you could play library. It was always fun. And so I really had to stop myself when it came in, because I had something that had come in the mail we didn't need. And I stamped it about 19 times. I was so happy to stamp. But now it's just in my desk drawer. And I feel like, you know, we went to the embossers for a while.
I have an embosser.
But I'm real tickled with my stamp.
Yeah.
And so it's $12.99.
I think I'm going to do this.
It's easy. Yeah, I think it's great. And it got here really fast. And I don't know. I didn't really know that we did these anymore. So I was delighted to find it. And to order one. So I got the one, I got the laurel, like the kind of the laurel wreath wreath around the address. I don't
Super
know why.
Cute. Yeah.
It just felt right and good. So there's that.
Okay.
The fourth thing, I love this Thrive Market organic extra virgin olive oil.
Oh.
I have reordered it. I go through a lot of olive oil because I do a lot of cooking. And This, for some reason, has just become a favorite for me. One, I love the container. You know, I have a little tray that sits next to my stove mm-hmm. with I have all my oils and stuff and my seasonings that I use all the time. And so it's cute for one yeah. thing because it's super tall. I like that it's kind of a metal. Like mm-hmm. I don't know. It feels sturdy and durable. But the olive oil is delicious for cooking. It's not super strong, but it's also not just like a glorified canola oil. You know, it's got a little flavor.
Okay.
But I really love it. I am crazy about the container. And I don't know. I think this is, if anybody has olive oil favorites, just know this is mine right now. Okay. So
that's good to know. I actually have a bottle of this that they sent me that I haven't used yet. So this makes me want to, and I'm cooking something tonight that I can use yeah. it for. So that's exciting.
That's actually how I tried it for the first time was they sent it to me. And then I was like, oh yes, I got to the end of that. And I was mm-hmm. like, we'll order again. So I ordered it and I really love it. And so, and I just think the container is so fun. And I know that shouldn't matter, but it does to me.
No, it does matter.
My last favorite, this is not a surprise, but I'm going to a wedding next weekend. I wanted some pearls. Mm-hmm. You know, I've been a big fan of some, the current trend of very large beads.
Yes.
So I have yet another pair of Amazon beads I would like to share with our listeners. Okay. This time they look like pearls, but these are so fun and so cute and look really good in person. It is the Calce, I don't know.
Yeah,
as we all, the one of the premier names in jewelry.
Yes.
It's a 3-layer strand of simulated pearls. It has an adjustable clasp so you can make it more chokery or you can make it more something that sits on your chest.
Mm-hmm.
But they are so fun and I can't wait to wear them. It's okay. It's one of those things like just, you know, I dress up, like really dress up, you know, 2 or 3 times a year. This is a fun little number, I feel like, for while we have the big beads in style.
Yes, it feels like, hello, Barbara Bush, you know?
I know. And it's longer than what she wore. And the pearls, I put that in quotation marks, are bigger.
Okay.
But it's really cute. And I just got some very simple pearl earrings to wear with it.
Mm-hmm.
But I think, you know, if you're trying to kind of go big with a fun dress up look, this is a good way to do it for less than $15.
I love that.
Mm-hmm. So those are my favorites for the week.
Okay. Well, very well done. I feel like you've given us a wide array of some great favorites.
Delighted to be of service. So. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I guess, feel like between the curtains and the pearls and the return address stamp, it's like, listen, we are in 2026, but in our hearts, we are in 1971.
Maybe, yeah, maybe feeling a little retro. Yeah. So anyway,
I like it.
Yeah, thanks so much.
All right. Well, y'all, thanks for listening to this first episode of 2026.
Yes. We have a couple of announcements for the group.
Yes.
One is that our live stream tickets for our Birmingham show are on sale.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a public Patreon post. I'll link to that where you can find the link for that. And then the second thing is we have our new $10 level on Patreon where we're going to read Southern Living together. There's not a new issue for Southern Living in January because there are 10 issues a year, but we're going to provide links for the group. We're going to go through and discuss several things from the Southern Living website. It's kind of our 2026 warm-up for the magazine reading. And so mm-hmm. be on the lookout for that. We'll also have low-level goals coming out later this week. So
yeah, yay. Lots of stuff. Listen, we're off to a hot start in 2026.
A hot start. Yes.
Hot start.
All right, everybody. Hope you have the best rest of your week and we will talk to y'all later.
All right. Talk to y'all soon.